Bless you, Malone and Chantel and family. See you soon. See you soon. You know, before God, our Father, before God, one day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like one day. Amen? Amen. Okay? This morning, we are to continue to study our Bible, the Word of God, Romans chapter 10, from verse 21 to chapter 11, verse 10. Romans chapter 10, from verse 21 to chapter 11, verse 10. Read us read together alternatively. Let me start. Chapter 10, verse 1. But concerning Israel, this is actually literal Israel. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 2. God did not reject his people, whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself, how many? 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears so that they could not hear, to this very day. Okay. Together, may their eyes be darkened, so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Amen. God bless all of us through his words. Okay. As we know, Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, three chapters. The theme of these three chapters is the vindication of God's righteousness through the story of Israel's history. So in chapter 9, we saw chapter 9 is Israel's past election because of God's grace for world mission, world salvation. Then chapter 10 is Israel's present today, Israel's present rejection because of their misunderstanding about their mission, because of their disobedience and rebellion against God. And chapter 11 is Israel's future restoration because of God's faithfulness. So in this world, actually, Israel Israel is the only country with perfect, complete history, past, present, and future. So in chapter 9, the emphasis of chapter 9 is on God's mercy, God's grace, God's sovereign will. Then in chapter 10, the emphasis is what? Human's accountability, human's responsibility. And chapter 11's emphasis is God's faithfulness. God is so faithful in keeping his promise. God is faithful in spite of man's faithlessness, man's unfaithfulness. Here is the last verse of chapter 10. You know, last verse of chapter 10 says, But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held down my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. The theme of chapter 10 is Israel's rejection because of their misunderstanding, disobedience, rebellion. Heart was very, very hardened. Then what is the result? What is the result of their rejection? At least we can see three results of their rejection. First, because of their rejection, still today, Israel is guilty. If we reject God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ, it means we are guilty. Like this, still today, Israel is guilty. God reveals himself in nature, also in his word. The nature, this nature, creation, is the book of creation. Also, God reveals himself through the book of nature, also book of word, his revelation. So all the time, both books, book of nature, book of creation, and book of the words, book of revelation, go together and proclaim, reveal the glory of God. Then Israel had the benefit of both books. Israel saw God at work in nature, in creation, and received God's written words. Israel heard the word of God, but they would not heed, H-E-E-D. They would not pay attention. No wonder why Jesus Christ often had to say to his crowds in his earthly ministry, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear? Yes. You know, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, seven times repeated, same sentence. He who has ear to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit says to the church. Even today, we have two books of God's self-revelation. One book is the book of words. Another book is the book of nature, book of creation. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare, heavens proclaim the glory of God. Still today, Israel is guilty. And second result of their rejection is the message goes to the Gentiles like you and me today. What an amazing grace. What a marvelous grace. You know, when Israel rejected her Messiah, God sent this gospel to the Gentiles so that they might be saved. One reason why God sent this gospel to the Gentiles was that they would provoke Israel to jealousy. It is called holy jealousy. Holy jealousy. Okay? Finally, number three, the result of their rejection is still today, God yearns over his people, his chosen people, Israel. You know, verse 21 says, but concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands for disobedient and obstinate people. Actually, this verse is quoted from Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2. Also, we can see this same sentence in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2. All day long. This phrase, all day long, certainly refers to present day of salvation, day of grace. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, now is the day of God's favor. Now is the day of God's grace. Now is the time of God's salvation. Means all day long. While Israel as a nation has been set apart, individual Jewish people can be saved if they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. All day long. Even today. Even 2,000 years ago, on his earthly ministry, our Lord Jesus Christ longed to gather his chosen people in his arms. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ cried over where? Over Jerusalem. And he longed to gather his chosen people in his arms. But instead, those arms were stretched out like this on a cross, where he willingly died for Jews and Gentiles. Then today, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father God, is stretching his hands like this, waiting, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all come to repentance. Today, God wants to use us to share this gospel, the message of gospel for Jews and Gentiles. God can use our feet. Last Sunday we saw how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful your feet. Still today, God can use our feet, our arms, as he used Paul's 2,000 years ago. You know, we must remember everything in this world, everything is of God. But at the same time, everything is of human's choice, human's decision. Yes, God is behind everything, but at the same time, human beings have free will. Do you have a free will? So we can accept or reject the offer of God of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, God is in control of everything. God has sovereignty. God has a sovereign will. But at the same time, God did not make us as a robot or a machine. But God made us as a person. Are you a person? What does this mean, person? If you are a person, it means you have personality. Personality consists of at least three elements: feeling, emotion, intellect, and willpower, volition. So we are responsible beings. We are accountable beings before our Lord Jesus Christ. But still, God never gives up his people. This is the story of the next chapter. Chapter 11 says, God never gives up his chosen people. Actually, Paul devotes all of Romans chapter 11 to presenting that God is not through with Israel. Paul is discussing a literal future for literal nation Israel. God is showing, God is revealing at least five witnesses, five proofs that there is a future in God's plan for nation Israel. Okay, today, this morning, I want to share with you only first two witnesses, two proofs. God is not through with Israel. Still, God has plan for Israel. You know, God's plan for Israel's future restoration is very, very important also for us. Imagine. God calls Abraham for world salvation. Abraham was Jewish people. Also, Jesus Christ came in this world as Jewish man. Then if God forgive them, if it means God, if God abandon them and there is no more chance, no more opportunity for them to be restored, to be saved again, how about our salvation? Also, our salvation can be lost. If they can be lost, also we can be lost. That's why their future restoration is very, very important for our salvation guarantee. That's why God allows Paul to say the restoration of Israel's future in whole chapter 11. Next Sunday we will see. Let me show you in advance. Can you see verse 26? Can you show you 26? I'll show you in advance the conclusion. This is the conclusion of this chapter, but we will study this part next Sunday, but I will show you in advance. Verse 26. Shall we read together? How clear. All Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, Jerusalem. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob, Israel. Okay. How many in this chapter, how many witnesses, how many proofs for Israel's restoration? Five. But today, let us see first two proofs, and next Sunday, let us see the second three witnesses. Okay, number one, first proof, first witness for Israel's restoration. First proof is Paul himself who wrote this book, Romans. Wow. Shall we read verse 1? Chapter 11, verse 1. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means, means God forbids. God forbids. Who is I in this sentence? I? Paul. Paul, who is writing this book? I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. among us, who can say like this? Honestly speaking, I have no right. I have no right to say Korea will be saved because I am Korean. Julius and Paul, can you say Uganda will be saved because I am Uganda? Can you say like this? Do you have right to say like that? Actually, nobody has right to say like this. Aaron, can you say America will be saved soon because I am American? Then Paul is saying like this, Israel will be saved. All Israel will be saved. Why? Because I am an Israelite myself. How can he say like this? On what ground? On what foundation he can say like this? What is the difference between his salvation and our salvation? So we must know the backgrounds. How, on what background he is able to say like this? Yes, of course, the salvation Paul received 2,000 years ago is exactly the same with the salvation we are receiving today. No difference in salvation. Then, we must note that, you know, Paul's conversion salvation, same. Paul's conversion testimony is written in the Word of God, in the Bible, in the book of Acts. Do you know how many times? Even three times. Paul's personal conversion testimony, witness is written in the book of God. In the book of Acts, even three times. In chapter 9, chapter 22, chapter 26. This is not by accident, but on God's purpose for something to reveal us. You know, Paul's conversion story is not written in the book of God to exalt Paul himself, but Paul's personal conversion and salvation story is written in the book of God to say to us his conversion is the illustration of future restoration and conversion of the nation of Israel. This is the secret. This is the mystery of God. Yes, as we know, before his personal conversion, Paul had a great zeal, passion, enthusiasm for God. He said, I am a Pharisee of Pharisees. As for legalistic righteousness, I am faultless. Who can say like this? As legalistic, not faith righteousness, but legalistic righteousness, I'm perfect. Paul said like this. Then, before his conversion, Paul was champion in persecuting the believers of Christ. You know, he persecuted the church. It means that he persecuted Christ. Why? Because he persecuted Christ for God. It means actually he persecuted God himself for God. He was against God for God. Why? Because he did not know Jesus Christ was God. He did not know Jesus Christ was Savior of the world. He did not know Jesus Christ was the Lord of the world. So he persecuted Jesus Christ. He was very, very zealous for God. But his zeal, his passion, his enthusiasm was not based on right righteousness, right knowledge about Jesus Christ. And one day he was on the way to Damascus to arrest and put the believers of Christ into prison, even breathing out murderous threat. Then Jesus appeared to him directly from heaven and said to Paul, actually, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he fell down immediately and he became blinded. Then when he became blinded physically, his spiritual eyes were open and he happened to know who Jesus is. And he responded immediately, calling how? Lord, who are you? Lord, who are you? Then Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. And after his conversion, after his salvation, immediately, completely, totally, his life was changed. 100%, 180 degree, his lifestyle was transformed. And he became the champion of the proclaimer, preacher of the gospel, from the persecutor of the gospel. And before he did his best to destroy the disciple of Jesus Christ, and after he did his best to make the disciple of Jesus Christ. And how about Israel? Also, the people of Israel was very, very zealous for God. They had a great zeal, great passion, great enthusiasm for God. They had looked forward with great anticipation to Messiah for a long, long time. They waited for Messiah long, long time. Messiah's coming was their final hope. But to our sadness, when the Messiah came to them, they did not recognize. They did not realize, because Jesus Christ, Messiah Christ, came to them in their same likeness, same culture, same language, same faith. They did not recognize. And they rejected, they persecuted, they crucified. Still now today, they are waiting for the Messiah God promised. Then in God's redemptive history, someday soon, maybe we don't know when, but in the soon future, there will be a time, there will be a day when Israel will realize, recognize that same Jesus Christ, their forefathers crucified in about 30 AD, is the real Messiah they have been waiting earnestly. And at that time, then, they will be changed completely, totally, immediately, 100%, 180 degree, just like whose case? Paul's case. Their lifestyle will be changed. Their lifestyle will be transformed completely, and then they will play a great role in closing the end of human history with Jesus' second coming. Yes. At this moment, I want to ask you a very serious but basic question. In your whole life up to now, even to the end of your whole life in this world, which event is the greatest event? Which is the most powerful impact to your personal life? the most powerful impact to your life, to my life, is what? Conversion. Conversion to Jesus Christ. Salvation in Jesus Christ. Please remember to be converted to Christ and not to be changed in our lifestyle is absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. To be, yes, great impact. Before going to second witness, let me repeat this last sentence in first witness. Yes, to be converted to Jesus Christ and then not to be changed in my personal lifestyle is absolutely, absolutely impossible. That is why Paul says in verse 1, did God reject his people? By no means, God forbid. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. Okay. Number 2, second witness, second proof for the future restoration of Israel. First witness is who? Paul. Second witness is Elijah. Elijah. Shall I read from verse 2 to 10? Let us read together. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in his in the passage about whom? About Elijah. Would you underline the personal name Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I'm the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What Israel sought honestly, it did not obtain. But the elect did. The others were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears so that they could not hear. To this very day. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. In second witness, keywords, two keywords. One is Elijah, the other keyword is remnant, remnant. Remnant. As we know the background behind the story of Elijah, Elijah was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament time. He had many, many nicknames. He was called a man of God, servant of the Lord, a man of fire, man of miracle, man of prayer, man of power. Yes, we know he raised a dead boy of a widow through prayer. When Elijah prayed, no rain. How long? More than 3 years. When he prayed again, heavy rain fell down. You know, he alone defeated 450 prophets, wrong prophets of Baal, and 400 prophets of Asherah. So he defeated more than 800 prophets by his prayer. He was a man of power, man of miracle. Then the historical background of his ministry is he works as a prophet in the time of Ahab. Do you know Ahab? Actually, in Hebrew pronunciation, just Ahab, 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 Ahab. About BC 850, about. You know, at that time, Israel was divided into two parts, just like Korea, South Korea, North Korea. At that time, Israel was divided. South Israel, North Israel. Southern kingdom called Judah, Northern kingdom called Israel because of the sins of Solomon. Then, this is the story of Northern kingdom, Israel, Northern kingdom, Israel, during the reign of King Ahab. Ahab was seventh king of Northern kingdom, Israel. Actually, Northern kingdom has 19 kings. You know, among 19 kings, there was no good king in the eyes of God. All of them were bad, evil, wicked kings in the eyes of God, spiritually. Then Ahab, this king, Ahab was the worst king among evil kings. He was worst, the most bad king among bad kings. In this time, during the reign of Ahab, Israel, Northern Kingdom, Israel was full of idol worship. Then Ahab was the most evil, bad king. Then his wife Jezebel was much more evil than her husband Ahab. Do you know the story of Naboth's vineyard? You can look for this word in general English dictionary, Naboth's vineyard. The story is like this. There was a vineyard very close to the house of Ahab, the palace of Ahab, because this vineyard is very near to the palace of Ahab. Ahab wants that vineyard. So he suggested to the owner of that vineyard, his name is what? Naboth. Sell your Naboth to me. I'll pay enough money. If he wants, I will give you another better. But he rejected, saying, God forbids, this is inheritance from my forefather. That Ahab was very sad, lay on his bed, sulking, silence. He did not eat. Then one day, his wife Jezebel asked, what's wrong with you? Why do not eat? Why are you so sullen? Then Ahab said the reason, because of this disease. Then Jezebel said, hey, are you a king? Is this how you can act like this, even as a king of Israel? Get up, eat. I will get that vineyard to you. Don't worry. And then immediately that day, that powerful woman, Jezebel, made the owner of that vineyard killed by a stone through bad men, through scoundrels. And said to her husband, get up. He is dead. He dies and have that vineyard. This same woman, Jezebel, sent a message to Elijah one day. I will kill you. I will kill you surely, suddenly, by this time tomorrow. At this, Elijah is a man of power, man of miracle, man of prayer, man of faithfulness before God. But He was so afraid, terrified, and he fled. He ran away in the desert and sat down under the broom tree and trembling. And he said, he complained to God, kill me, kill me. It means he was committing suicide. Please, do not commit suicide. Do not take your life. Even, it is possible, even a man of God sometimes can feel being killed, die, want to die. It is enough, take my life means I won't die. But God did not scold him. God encouraged him. God challenged him. God refreshed him with a soft whisper. Elijah, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Still you have a mission. One mission, remaining task. Then Elijah complained. Elijah appealed to God against Israel. God, you know, the Israelites destroyed and rejected your covenant, your promise. They destroyed your altar. They killed your prophets, your servants. I am the only one left. I am the one only left. But they are trying to kill me, so I'm here. At this, God answered, No, you are not the only one left. I reserve, how many? I reserve even 7,000 who do not kneel down before Baal, who do not kiss Baal. You are not the only. This is remnants. This is remnant. You have a mission. And immediately God gave him three missions. Mission to anoint Hazael, king of Aram. And then anoint Jehu, king of Israel. And anoint Elisha to succeed you as prophet. And then he refreshed, he encouraged, he received power again. He filled with the Holy Spirit and he finished his remaining task successfully. And then he was taken up to heaven by four winds without the taste of physical death. Hallelujah. Amen. The key word is remnants. Yes. Even today in Israel, yes, Israel is rejecting. Israel as a nation is rejecting the same Jesus Christ whom their forefathers crucified 2,000 years ago and waiting for another Messiah. But there is a remnant in Israel who are faithful before God. But not by their works, but by what? But by grace, but by grace. I'm sure. In North Korea, even in North Korea, there is a remnant. In Saudi Arabia, there is remnants. In Afghanistan, there is a remnant before the eyes of God. In Korea, in America, Aaron, do not be disappointed. There is a remnant in America. There is a remnant in Europe. There is a remnant. There is a remnant in every single local church. I'm sure I'm a believer in AICF, there is a remnant. Only God knows. A few remnants may be among us, but some of us can be remnants. Many of us can be remnants. Also, it is possible for all of us to be remnants before God. I hope, I pray, all of us, every single, each of us, remnants before God, faithful before God. Jesus says, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. What does it mean? Only remnants can be saved at the end. Remnants remain to the end. Actually, the word remnants comes remaining. Who is the remnant? The one who calls the name of the Lord. Yes, last time we saw everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is remnants. Yes, last time we shouted, Lord, Lord, Lord. Do you remember? Still, are you shouting? Are you calling Jesus is Lord? Still, are you shouting in your practical life, in your lifestyle? Are you calling Jesus Lord? What does this mean? Remnants. Yes. If you call Jesus Lord, it means Jesus is Lord in our life. Jesus is Lord in every area of our life, in our practical life. Please remember, if Jesus is your Lord, my Lord, it means Jesus is the Lord of our time. Is that true? If Jesus is our Lord, Jesus is the Lord of our concern. He is the Lord of our interest. He is the Lord of our motivation. He is the Lord of our purpose. He is the Lord of our priority. He is the Lord of our incentive. Even he is the Lord of our hobbies. What is your hobby? Please remember, even Jesus is the Lord of your hobby. Jesus is the Lord of your job. Jesus is the Lord of your ambition. Jesus is the Lord of your dreams. Jesus is the Lord of your visions. Jesus is the Lord of your
everything.
Jesus is the Lord of your back. You know? Jesus is the Lord of your wallet. Jesus is the Lord of your money. Jesus is the Lord of all our materials. This is the meaning of Jesus Lord. May God bless all of us so that we may call Jesus Lord really. God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. God is not cheated. God is not deceived. God is not mocked. God knows whether we call him Lord really or falsely. If you call Jesus Lord, even I'm pastor, I do not know. I'm not omniscient. I'm just a human. But God knows if you call Jesus Lord really, truly, from your deep heart or just from lips, nominal Lord. Please remember, Jesus is our Lord means Jesus is the Lord of everything, every area of our life. Not only spiritual area, but also physical area, material area, financial area, in relationship area, in all areas. God bless all of us. God bless all of us so that our calling Jesus Lord may be accepted as true by our Father God. God bless you. Shall we pray at this moment, close your eyes. I once have individual time, even time is very short. Let us pray individually and let us shout, let us cry, Lord, and help us, empower us, anoint us, so that my calling you Lord may be accepted, acceptable by you as true calling, true confession, true acknowledgement. Shall we shout to Lord? Let us together shout to Lord. Lord, oh Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord, oh Lord God, our pastor, Lord, oh Lord, yes, Lord. Oh Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Father God, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Oh Lord, yes, 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 Lord Oh Lord, yes, Lord. Please help us. Yes, Lord. 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 Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful promise. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be justified. You will be saved. You will be children of God. Thank you for this wonderful promise. You are so faithful in keeping your covenants. Your faithfulness reaches heaven. Oh Lord God, you are good all the time. Oh Lord, we acknowledge everything belonging to us is from you, for you, by you, for your glory, for your kingdom, for your pleasure, for your happiness. Father God, help us to do everything, anything for your glory, according to your covenants and promise. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Father God, the very reason, the very purpose why we exist on this planet is for your glory, for your will, for your name, exalted higher and higher, higher than to the highest. All glory back to you, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.